Can everyone hear me? All right. Good morning. So Justin just stole my introduction. Good morning again. I'm Nebu Kolincherry, and I just graduated from St. Louis University, and I'm currently a Coro Fellow in St. Louis. My presentation this morning is entitled Effectiveness of HIV Testing Through Social Networks Among Young African-American Men Who Have Sex with Men in St. Louis. My co-authors were Gaurav Kaushik, who's right there, and Kelly Wrighton and Katie Plax from the Washington University School of Medicine. So to start, I'd like to add that I do not have any relationships to disclose. So earlier this year, the CDC noted that there were over 1.2 million people in the United States that were living with HIV. And while the prevalence of infection was steadily rising, the incidence was relatively stable at around 50,000 new infections a year. And this might be a little outdated, but as you can see, there's a very large proportion of new infection among young African-American MSM. And this is what I'd like to explore today. So in 2010, there were 4,800 new infections among this population who were from 13 to 24 years of age, were African-American, and were identified as MSM. And this accounted for 45% of new infections among African-American MSM and 55% of new infections among young MSM. From 2006 to 2009, while the incidence was about 50,000 cases per year, there was a 21% increase in the cases for people who were 13 to 29 years of age, and a large contributor to this was the 48% increase in HIV infection in this subpopulation. Now, the disparity does have a variety of causes or a variety of factors that lead to it, and a systematic review that compared racial disparities in MSM in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. concluded that African-American MSM in the U.S. were more likely than MSM of any other race to have a lower income. They were also more likely to not have a high school education and to have a criminal record. They were also more likely to be unemployed, so poverty plays a huge role in this. The authors also concluded that disparities in access to clinical care for HIV contributed to the higher rates of infection as well. In addition, there's definitely a stigma surrounding the disease, as all of you all know, and the social stress and marginalization that comes from the homophobia associated with this population also led to delayed HIV diagnosis in this population. In terms of sexual behavior, African-American MSM are more likely to have an earlier sexual debut, have sexual partners of their own race, which is also known as assortative mating. And these partners are sometimes older than they are as well, and these behaviors make for a tight-knit sexual network that allow for the quick spread of disease in a relatively small population. They're also more likely than other groups to test positive on their first HIV test and be unaware of their potentially positive serostatus. And both of these are risk factors for rapid spread of disease in a subpopulation. So this disparity calls for innovative and targeted prevention strategies that expand testing to this subpopulation to reduce the disparity in the incidence of HIV. So Justin had touched on this, but for some background on this project, I was born and raised in an Indian community, and I moved to the U.S. when I was around 13. And so, you know, these two sides of my life have been very prevalent. And for my senior capstone, I wanted to explore public health in both India and the U.S. So I spent 3 weeks in August of 2014 interning with one of the Suraksha projects in India, which is a AIDS prevention program. And this specific one I was with targeted migrant workers. So this is me in a plywood factory in South India. And I'm accompanying a community health worker, and one of their big strategies was outreach. And they used to go to these factories, for example, where migrant workers had a higher rate of HIV infection. And they give classes, and they recruit people for testing, for HIV testing. Another thing that they did was sometimes they would recruit the foreman of the factory, or they would also someone who they saw as a leader among the workers, and they were given a stipend, and then they would have to host a certain amount of classes outside of the workday, or meet a monthly target number of workers that they recruit to get tested. So this model took advantage of this trust and social network within the target population of migrant workers and led to a greater level of reach in their target community. So when I came back, I wondered if there were similar strategies that were being employed in the U.S., and I was particularly interested in those that relied on social ties in vulnerable communities. So with that in mind, I applied for a certain second internship at the Project ARC and the spot, and I got to meet Gaurav. And Project ARC, which stands for AIDS Resources and Knowledge, is a Ryan White statewide Part D funded program in the Department of Pediatrics at the Washington University School of Medicine. And since 1995, they have been serving the children, youth, and women at risk for HIV and AIDS in the St. Louis region. The SPOT is sort of a sister organization and stands for Supporting Positive Opportunities with Teens. And they cater to youth between 13 and 24 years of age and are a free drop-in center that provides comprehensive sexual and reproductive health services. And they also support like case management services as well. So the rising incidence of HIV and STDs is a public health issue in African-American youth in St. Louis. From 2008 to 2010, the new cases of HIV and AIDS among male youth in St. Louis increased by 33% compared to only 2% in adult males. And so Project ARC and The Spot have employed multiple recruitment strategies to reach the local HIV-positive population. And this study and this presentation will make a case for the use of a social network testing model to better reach the young African-American MSM population in urban settings similar to St. Louis. So within the context of HIV testing, social network testing was first given national exposure in a 2005 MMWR from the CDC. And it was found to be a successful method to reach MSM that were at high risk for HIV. And this method involves enlisting individuals that are at high risk for HIV or PLUS clients to recruit their peers and their respective social networks to be tested. So the former are called recruiters and the latter are called network associates. And Project ARC enlisted recruiters either from their past clients or people that were recruited through other testing methods. The staff selected recruiters based on whether or not they exhibited qualities that showed that they were a leader in their community and that they might have access to individuals that were not previously tested. So they were trained in how to talk about HIV and testing, and each recruiter was given a set of 10 business cards, and the recruiters were sent out to recruit network associates, and they did. And if that particular network associated presented for testing with a business card that corresponded to one recruiter, the network associate was given a $10 gift card and the recruiter was given a $15 gift card. So both parties were incentivized to participate in the program. Now, past studies have shown that a similar social network-based testing model is extremely effective with different populations that include high-risk African-American women, intravenous drug users, and they've also been done with MSM in multiple cities. However, to my knowledge, there has not been a published study for the use of social network testing in the young African-American MSM population. And the two other methods I compared to was alternative venue testing, which essentially involves the staff at Project ARC, in this case, going out to locations within the community that where they were more likely to encounter members that might be at a higher risk for HIV. And so they conducted testing at local libraries, bars, nightclubs, community centers, and churches. And their goal was to reach a larger population of racial ethnic minorities, specifically African Americans, and MSM clients. And the third method was in-house testing, which is pretty much walk-in testing. And this relied on the reputation of Project ARC and The Spot as reputable organizations within the St. Louis area. And most clients that were recruited by this method were walk-in clients. And they heard that free testing was offered through their healthcare provider or online or from their peers, et cetera. So I analyzed HIV testing data at The Spot from September 2013 through April 2014. And all clients that were younger than 30 were excluded, and this was based on other studies that were done that claimed to reach young people, and their cutoff was usually 13 through 29. All clients with an invalid test results or those that were missing data were excluded as well in order to for integrity in the data. And lastly, if clients identified as the young clients identified as African American and MSM, there was a variable that I coded which specifically identified that population. For statistical analysis, the demographics were analyzed with chi-square tests to examine differences in gender, race, and sexual orientation across the three different testing types, and the age distribution was measured through a one-way ANOVA. And I looked at two hypotheses: one, HIV positivity between the three different testing models, and two, whether there would be a difference in the proportion of the subpopulation that I was interested in that would be recruited. And so in that time, from September through April, 2,263 clients were serviced through the agencies, and 1,592 were included in my data set. Out of that, there were 18 that were positive, which amounts to a prevalence rate of 1.13%. And for social network testing in particular, there were 44 recruiters that recruited 50 network associates. And in the other two, the alternative venue testing had 549 clients, and the in-house testing had 993 clients. So there's a definite disparity in sample size, and I'll touch on that later. In terms of gender, I would say 47% were male, and out of those, 40% identified as MSM. In terms of race, 78.7% were African-American with a mean age of 21.22. As you can see, the range is 12 to 29, which is about the population I was going for. When stratified by type of testing, there were 72% of those tested through, I apologize, 76% of those tested with social network testing were male, and 86.8% of those tested identified as MSM, and that, if you can see, it's significantly higher than the other two testing strategies. With respect to race, because of the population that they serve, they're pretty similar. In fact, social network testing is slightly lower than the other two, and the age distribution is pretty similar, with all having mean ages that are between 20 and 22, and median ages that are either 21 or 22. So for the hypotheses that I looked at, the social network testing had three positives, which was 6% and compared to 0.9 and 1.0% for the other two. And I ran a Fisher's exact test to look at the to test my hypothesis, and the p-value was 0.0032. In terms of recruiting young African American MSM, social network testing recruited 44% compared to 7.8% in alternative venue testing and 13.5% in in-house testing. And this was out of 12.5% of total clients that were in this subpopulation. The p-value for that one was less than 0.001. So both Fisher's exact tests yielded p-values that were statistically significant. So I concluded that social network testing both yielded a significantly higher positivity rate and recruited a significantly higher number of young African-American MSM clients. So these results suggest that social network testing is definitely an effective method to reach the subpopulation in St. Louis, and that it's more effective at finding positives through targeted intervention. So all three positives that were found through this method were young African-American MSM, and while three might be a smaller number, 3 out of 18, which is their total positives, number of positives, that's 16.7% of their HIV-positive clients were found from 3.1% of their total clients that they serviced, and which says that it had, like I said earlier, 6 times the positivity rate than the other two methods. This method of testing relies on the strength of relationships between individuals and the organization carrying out the intervention, and successful implementation is really people-intensive, so it takes a lot of staff to recruit and train and follow up with the intervention. However, it's also very cost-effective. A 2006 study found that identifying one HIV-positive person through this type of model would cost a little under $5,000. Well, alternative venue testing would be $8,250, and in-house testing would be $11,500. So there's significant cost savings as well if HIV positivity is your goal. And this is really due to the relatively small number of individuals that need to be recruited and tested to find one positive as compared to the other methods. What was that, sir?
Can you repeat those numbers?
In terms of the cost? Social network testing, 4,929, if you want the exact number, and then alternative venue testing, 8,250, in-house testing, 11,481, and I can give you the reference later if you'd like. So this definitely did have its limitation. It's not a randomized controlled trial, it's more of an observational study design, which definitely allowed for bias. The sample size, like I said, was 50 for social network testing as compared to 549 for alternative venue testing and 993 for in-house testing. And this does definitely limit the statistical power to draw conclusions from the data. However, previously published studies for social network testing definitely had similarly small sample sizes. In addition, since the data was collected in a non-control setting, there's definitely missing data that had to be excluded, which would also add to the bias. Given these limitations, in my mind, a future direction for such a study would be a social network testing model strategy that were explicitly aimed at targeting this population, and that would recruit larger sample sizes. In addition, I became really interested in the cost effectiveness of this model, and specifically a return on investment study would be a very fascinating one on my end. And to conclude, social network testing shows great promise as a potential solution to the rising incidence of HIV in this subpopulation. And the similar models have shown great success in reducing risky sexual behaviors like unprotected anal intercourse. And you know, SET recruiters could have a similar effect on reducing risky behaviors in the subpopulation as well. However, given the complex and multifaceted nature of HIV transmission, it definitely calls for multiple testing approaches. And community-based organizations such as the SPOT and Project ARC should use a combination of approaches in order to best serve their clients. Nonetheless, social network testing can be a powerful economical addition to the arsenal of a service provider that caters to this population, particularly in an urban setting. And so I'd like to acknowledge Gaurav, who's here, and Katie Plax and Kaylee Wrighton, who helped me out on this project. And I guess I would be one of the few people here who has a dad in the room that showed up. So thank you for showing up. So Justin mentioned that we'd take questions at the end, and I'd be happy to do that. Thank you so much.